Listen, the way you sleep is unique to you. And that's why having a Sleep Number smart bed is so crucial. Because you can adapt to your changing needs for just right. Can't wait to nestle into bed luxurious comfort. So whether you need softer or firmer, cooler or warmer, you are never stuck. You can adjust your comfort whenever you like. And it gives you your best night's sleep. Night after night, year after year. I love my smart bed. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. Just 10 numbers apart, but it means the world of difference because I can change my side of the bed to however firm or soft I want. And the same thing for Suze. So why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? Again, so you can sleep just the way you like. The only bed that lets you make each side firmer or softer whenever you like your Sleep Number setting. Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year is here. All beds on sale. Up to 50% off the limited edition smart bed. Limited time. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store or sleepnumber.com for details.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Watching Travis Hunter go back and forth
live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles
between different positions,
picked off by Travis,
and different jerseys and price. I've never seen anything like
Hunter. He wanted the ball, and that's why
the Rich Eisen Show.
I want to play both sides
with guest host Tom Pelissero. Earlier on the show, Browns radio play-by-play voice Andrew Siciliano, NFL on Fox analyst Greg Olson. Coming up, latest news and more. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Tom Pelissero.
One more hour to go in my time in the seat for the week. Tom Pelissero in for Rich. This is about the time that I tend to start getting nostalgic. Like, remember the good times we had over the last 2 days? Hasn't this been a lot of fun, all of us hanging out together? But this is also a good time. Because I know that you guys have been taking notes. Not Del Tufo. He's just busy laughing at everything.
I actually have a notebook right here.
All right, here we go. This is also the time when I stay. We are 23 days out from the regular season opener in the NFL. There's a ton that I'm sure we haven't covered, even though we've talked a ton about the league over the last couple of days, where you guys can ask me any questions you want. I will not always necessarily give you a direct answer, but I will tell you what I am able to say on live TV and radio. Also, open up the phone lines here. 844-204-RICH. Del Tufo's got his questions. TJ, Brock, keep around. All right, let's go to you. I'm going to get to the phones momentarily. Let's start with Del Tufo, Mike, since he's away.
Start us
at
off.
The end of the season, who is going to be the Cleveland Browns quarterback?
At the end of the season is a great question, because that's going to come down in
Can't
part two.
Look at you, Mike.
Are they are they competitive?
Yes.
If they're not competitive, then you got to pretty good sense it's going to be either Shadour or Dillon Gabriel at that point. You drafted Dillon Gabriel in the third round. You drafted Shadour in the fifth. Gabriel hasn't shown what he can do in a game. Shadour has, albeit first time out, no scheme, against mostly twos and threes, but it looked good. It looked real. Sitting here right now, I would say the Browns have to be hoping the answer is Joe Flacco. Because that tells you that the season, stayed in it, and they hung around. Yeah. If it is not Joe Flacco, if let's say it's Shadour, some things may not have gone well, and there might be some other things that are also different by the end of the season. All right, let's grab a call here. J-Mac in Queens has been waiting to go. Giants win, loss. How about that? You still with us, J-Mac? You ready to do this?
And it comes fairly early in the season.
He's listening to a different radio show. That's going to be it for J-Mac. That's a shame.
Turn your radio down.
Put him on hold.
That wasn't even our show. He's listening to a different show.
Turn your radio down, J-Mac.
Do you think he's called into a bunch of different shows and he's just got different phones?
Yep.
That would be amazing.
Whoever picks up first.
All right. How about Patrick in Tampa? Hopefully Patrick's paying attention. Patrick.
Tommy G, I'm listening to your station.
There we go. All right. We got Patrick. What do you got, my friend? What's happening?
First thing I tell you, I'm a big fan of you and the Insiders.
Appreciate it.
The Vikings this season. They go around the horn here. Chris Brockman, hello to you, sir.
What up, my man?
Got a good one in that Sarah Tiana.
Yes, sir.
To Jiggy Jefferson, please hello. Say hello to the Kunises and the Kushners for me.
I do that.
In those stories. But this is a very special phone call for you today, Mr. Del Tufo. On switching your allegiances to the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Listen to this. Okay. Born and raised in Tampa, Florida. I'm a 42-year-old guy. So until 1998, the Tampa Bay Devil Rays were not a team. We didn't have our own home team. But therefore, I was raised a Yankee fan. And I got to experience the Yankees from a very interesting perspective. My Uncle Malio has a restaurant called Malio Steakhouse in Tampa. And Malio's used to be the place where I valet park cars. And one of his regulars was George M. Steinbrenner.
Ah.
Right? So, don't take it from Rich. And I'll call another time to tell Rich some stories about George Steinbrenner, as I called him Uncle George back in the day. But anyway, I switched alliances to the Tampa Bay Rays in 2008 because the Yankees bullied my hometown Rays in spring training. And I've been a Rays fan ever since.
Yeah, you can do that.
Don't let Rich push you around. Look, and look, he's even making jokes about it now that he's switching. He doesn't even cheer for the Yankees anymore because, you know, they're not having a good year. But, you know, come on.
Exactly.
Look, you're a Dodgers fan.
Let's unwind this for a second here. Patrick, thank you very much for the call. I missed this conversation. You switched from to the Dodgers?
I'll sum it up. Basically, Del Tufo has lived in Los Angeles so long, he's now a Dodgers fan and no longer a Yankees fan. And
exactly.
Rich gives him the business every single time.
Yankees to Dodgers is that's about as lazy as it gets.
Yeah, dude, you went from the Yankees to the Rays. Like, and you're from Tampa.
Tampa.
Del Tufo is from...
Where do I live? Well, I've lived here more than I lived in New Jersey and New York. I have now become...
You can't grow up a diehard Yankee fan and then switch to the other great team.
1994.
Mm. Okay.
Oh, I made the move. Hold on.
So
I started cheering for the Dodgers a little.
No, you didn't.
In the middle of the series.
Stop lying.
When the Yankees looked like crap. In the middle of the World Series.
And the Yankees were still on top in 08. I mean, they had kind of were out of their Jeter, Bernie Williams, Andy Pettit days. And so I was like, okay, well, you know, the Rays changed their uniform. I said, maybe I should switch. It was Shelly Duncan. He slid spikes first into Akinori Iwamura at second base and during spring training. And I said, these guys are bullies.
But the Rays went to the World Series in 08.
The Rays did. Well, but I switched in spring training. How's that?
Okay. Oh, you see.
Okay. No, I'm down with that. Del Tufo's a complete fraud.
I'm a fraud. See, this is what these guys, they just don't appreciate the fact.
Before I let you go, first, I have said that the Panini 1990 sticker book, I had to look it up because we were talking about it. They had the hitters, now Pro Football Hall of Famers, on the cover. Mike Singletary, Ronnie Lott, and Lawrence Taylor. And if you want an alligator, how about out of 1994 Tampa Bay Buccaneer, Florida Gator named Eric Rett, number 32.
Rett, good one. See, Eric Rett, another Eric name Rett. That bounces around in my head from time to time.
R-I-C-T-T.
Oh, yes. Eric. Eric Rett. That's right. Don't mispronounce it. You could get yourself in trouble. All right. Appreciate it, Patrick. The Tampa Bay Rays logo, by the way, like the original one.
Oh, the Devil Rays.
Yeah. Low key. Yeah. I think it's one of the worst logos history.
Colors and logo.
The only players, if I shut my eyes and think of that logo, the only players I can see in that uniform are Wade Boggs and Jose Canseco. That's it. Can you think of any other player wearing that uniform? Boggs only did it because they gave him extra money to be the first Devil Ray in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Then the Hall of Fame was like, no. You can't do that.
Wade Boggs hit his 3,000th hit with the Rays.
Canseco was not even at the end of Canseco's career. That was like in the middle. There was a weird thing toward the end for Jose Canseco. You'd have to look it up. But he was with the Yankees, I think, on multiple occasions.
Won a World Series with the Yankees.
Yeah.
He was popping up in all these different places. And somehow, like, what was his last year in Major League Baseball? It was like 2009.
2001, White Sox.
01. Okay. My brain's running on a slight zap. But the White Sox at the end.
At the end, after he got traded to Texas, he went Boston, Texas. Oakland, Toronto, Yankees, White Sox.
I mean.
Yeah. Like, that's a lot. And he was still, like, barnstorming and playing, like, minor league baseball when he was 50. Him and his twin brother, Ozzy, just still hitting bombs. And
for a fee, they will join your rec softball league.
Is that true?
How much?
Yes, I don't know.
That sounds real. They don't drug test the rec softball league?
Are they testing?
That could be a problem. You don't want to fail a drug test in the over 60 beer league. That consists of, are you sober? Get out of here.
Why would they even be drug testing you in the over 60 league?
Amin in Los Angeles wants to do Lions win loss. You with us?
Hey, what's up, Tommy?
All right, let's do this, man. Amin, Detroit Lions.
What do we got? Win
loss time. Let's start out week one at Green Bay.
That's a win.
Week two, home against Chicago.
That's another win.
Week 3 at Baltimore.
That's a win.
This is going to be another 16-1, I have a feeling. Week 4, home against the Browns.
That's a win.
Week 5 at Cincinnati.
That's a loss.
All right, there we go. Okay, Week 6 at Kansas City. Tough back-to-back. Primetime.
That's going to be a loss.
All right. Week 7, home against the Bucks.
That's a win.
All right. We got a bye. Now we're back. Home against the Vikings Week 9.
That's a loss.
Vikings revenge. J.J. McCarthy, not Sam Darnold. Week 10 at Washington.
That's another loss.
Ooh. All right. Week 11 at Philly. Well, that's a tough stretch right there. Week 11 at Philly.
That's 4-5.
Yes, that's another loss.
Oh, that's
three-game skid. Haven't had many of those since the early days of Dan Cale. Week 12, home against the Giants.
That's a win.
All right. Week 13, home against the Packers.
That is a win.
Sweet. All right. Back on track. Week 14, home against the Cowboys on a Thursday night game.
That's a win.
And week 15 at Rams.
That's another win.
Uh-oh.
Here they come. Week 16 home against Pittsburgh.
Four in a row.
That's a win.
Five in a row.
Week 17 at Minnesota. Christmas.
That's a win.
All right. Six and in week a row. 18 at Chicago. This could be for the division.
We're going to finish it off with a win.
12 so that five. Is
12-5 despite a three-game winning streak. You feel good? I mean, 12-5. Is 12-5 satisfactory? Is that getting you a home playoff game? Are you winning the division at 12-5?
I think 12-5, we win the division. I'm very, very skeptical on these two new coordinators, but I believe in Dan Campbell, and I think we'll be right in the mix. We're going to be right there.
Good stuff, Amin. Thank you very much. We got another win-loss here. Andy in Springfield, Missouri. We were just talking about this team. The Chiefs. Brockman says they can't cruise through winning a bunch of one-score games again here. Andy, you ready to do this?
I am.
All right. Week 1 home against the Chargers.
I think we lose Week 1.
Ooh. Actually, that's not a home game. That's in Brazil, but close enough.
Yeah.
Week 2. Sorry, this chart, the chart. It's very small. I'm going to look at the big one. Week 2, it's right home against the Eagles.
I think we lose Week 2.
Okay, panic mode.
This is where everybody's starting to fire everyone. Week 3 at Giants. All right,
Andy Reid hot seat.
Can't take a wild guess there.
Oh, that's definitely a win.
Week 4, home against Baltimore.
We beat Baltimore.
Week 5 at Jacksonville.
Easy win.
Week 6, home against the Lions.
We beat the Lions.
Week 7, home against the Raiders.
Win.
Week 8, home against Washington.
We beat Washington.
Week 9, at Buffalo.
We always lose to Buffalo
in the regular season. But playoffs, different story. Week 11, all right, this is after the bye. Week 11, at Denver.
6-3.
We beat Denver.
7-3.
Week 12, home against the Colts.
It's a blowout. We win.
Week 13, Thanksgiving at Dallas.
Tread lightly.
Oh, man. I think Dallas might get us. That's a loss.
Ooh, okay. All right. Week 14. TJ, you got him. Week 14, home against the Texans.
We'll beat the Texans.
All right. Week 15, rematch home against the Chargers. Not in Brazil.
We will get our redemption. That's a win.
All right. Week 16 at Tennessee.
That's a win.
And week 18 at Vegas. Oh, 17. Hold on. Wait, hold on. I skipped one. Week 17, home against Denver on Christmas.
Yeah, we win the last two.
Okay.
All right, win the last two.
13-4.
13-4. Is that? It's a tougher division. Now you swept the Raiders. You split with the Chargers. 13-4. Does that do it in the division? Anybody catching you at 13-4?
I think Baltimore is going to get the number one seed,
which would be a rare situation for your Chiefs.
So because you beat them, they'd have to get to 14.
There you go. Andy, yep. Thank you.
Thanks,
very
Andy.
Much for that call. Let's grab one more here. David.
Dave.
In Austin, Texas. What's up, Dave?
Hey, appreciate you taking my call. Just wanted to get your outlook for CeeDee Lamb this season. Is he going to get less targets and correspondingly production now that we have George Pickens? And is Shoddy seriously going to try to actually run the ball this year?
I would anticipate that that's high on Shoddy's list of things to do here. You know, you've got a group in the backfield. They've got Miles Sanders there. He's been banged up recently. Everything I've heard about Javonte Williams is, you know, it's been a few years now since the knee injury. He finally looks like he's got the quick twitch and the burst back, which is good because I was at the game in Dallas. TJ's tried to block this one from his memory, but when Javonte Williams ran wild for his first 100-yard game, and they absolutely pasted the Cowboys out of nowhere. That was Vic Fangio's last year with Denver. There was, like, no expectation that they were going to win that game. And they went in there and absolutely.
I predicted Denver to win that game on air, though. So.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
You thought that was a classic trap game.
They got our number.
So you're the one person. Okay. But the Cowboys, I mean, that was a big game for Javonte Williams. They haven't forgot it. It looks like he's back. In terms of CeeDee Lamb, I don't think that it's a less target. If anything, I would say having a big physical outside receiving threat opposite CeeDee Lamb is a good thing for CD because CeeDee Lamb, and just, you know, talking to the coaches who have been there in recent years, he's the guy who can move around and do everything. Like, there's no route that he can't run on the field. You can play him inside, you can play him outside. Pickens is, now he can do different things too, but a big part of his game is the vertical pass plays, the 50-50 balls, the back shoulders. That stuff, if you can show that that's a threat and if Dak is hitting on it, that's going to draw some of that coverage and you're going to have to play that a little bit differently. Maybe that opens things up from a matchup perspective. It's going to be harder because, like, you know, Kevontae Turpin's gotten better in his career too. He can do more things, but he's not a guy who's going to go out there and really challenge you from a matchup perspective. It's like Brandon Cooks last year. Turpin might be a more dynamic, diverse player than Brandon Cooks is, but you didn't have that true threat on the opposite side. Plus, Cooks missed all the time last year when he went and got the procedure in New York and then somehow got an infection and just didn't come back for a long period of time. They haven't had that guy. Pickens is going to be motivated, which could be good or bad with George Pickens. I tend to believe it's going to be good.
Well, it's a payday waiting for him, so.
Have 1 year exactly where all the stuff off the field and in the locker room is just good. Keep it together on the sideline. Go and produce. He's a freaky dude, but it's the same reason he went in the second round. It's the same reason he's not in Pittsburgh anymore, which is just the day-to-day. Is he going to show up on time to the stadium? Is he going to show up time? Is he going to make his flights? Just all those little things that are maintenance. The Cowboys, based on, as we talked about quite a bit last night and saw a little bit of in the documentary, they have established decades of infrastructure. They have one of the best teams, so to speak, of people that just make sure all that stuff is taken care of. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a good environment, I would think, for George Pickens. As long as he's getting his, CeeDee Lamb, it may not be the high. I mean, CD's been like a 150 target guy. Maybe right. The targets are there, but I would think that the matchups and the opportunities are actually better for CeeDee Lamb now that George Pickens is there, providing that kind of offset in terms of how teams play him. Go ahead.
Well said. Well said. I just wanted to conclude by saying, please, today is a great day to pay Micah. Price only goes up tomorrow.
Agreed with you, sir. Agreed.
Heard a few people saying that last night too at the.
I may have yelled
it out loud. At the premiere of
Pay that
America's
man.
Team, the Gamblers Cowboys, man. Premiering August 19th, 2025 on Netflix. It honestly, the episode we saw, episode 3, was
so
excellent.
Good. It was so good.
It pulled in so much of the history, but also it made you feel it. I'm not I've never been a Cowboys or 49ers fan, but like you felt like you were part of that rivalry.
You were watching greatness because those teams were great. Like
also just loaded with Hall of Famers on those two teams.
It's just ridiculous.
They were the only team that interrupted the Cowboys' run was indeed the 49ers in 1994, which I think will be briefly touched on maybe somewhere around episode 5.
You've said that, but I don't feel like that's something that is going to be briefly touched on. As open as they've been about everything else.
Also, that championship game was crazy, too.
Yeah, you can't leave out the whole Jimmy leaving and that leap year because we, honest to goodness, if we keep that together, we win 4 in a row. And no one's going to convince me that we do not win that championship if Jimmy's still the coach.
Also, so that's the Deion thing, too. Remember, Deion was on that 49er team, and then next year goes to the Cowboys. and the next year goes to the Cowboys. And so, obviously, I'm sure that'll be a huge part of it as well.
Will it?
Dion is one of the featured interviewees
for the documentary.
So, yeah,
I'll be interested to see how the coaching change, how the last 30 years, frankly, is handled in the documentary here.
Well, it's not about the last 30 years. It's about that period of time.
But there's a coda. We see Jerry in modern day. We see him on the ranch. I have to imagine we're brought up to speed of 30 years of not quite getting back to the heights of that group.
Look, Tom, stop it. I just want to, like, revel in what used to be, man. Because you know what? I realized something last night, in all honesty, like all the crap I take about the Cowboys not winning and why don't I leave. And Brockman can attest to this because he's had it happen twice. But, like, that's why the term once in a lifetime is used, because that was a once in a lifetime thing. I'm at the point where I don't think I'm ever going to get that feeling again, which kind of stinks. But at the end, it's just like, at least I had that. A lot of Cowboys fans, like you said, new fans, they've never had that experience. They didn't know what it was like. You know, I was living in Pittsburgh in the middle of that run. So life was truly amazing for me at that point. But I'll never get that feeling back. And, it is what it is.
Three Super Bowls in 4 years, three Super Bowls in a single decade. It almost never happens that somebody would get that twice.
And yet,
almost never
did.
Almost never happens.
But like I said, the second Patriots was 3 and 5 years. It's fine.
Oh, I'm saying same decade.
Can't relate.
I'm well aware. And they went to other ones. They went to other ones in that same stretch.
You can't relate.
Arguably the best team that Tom Brady ever had didn't win because they didn't call holding it against Eli Manning.
All right. We're not going to relitigate that right now.
What we were talking about.
Exactly. 844-204 Rich. We'll get back to your calls. But also, I got questions from the boys coming up right after this. All things NFL. Every question
that
you guys can muster on what we see over the next 23 days and beyond. We will get to that.
Listen, the way you sleep is unique to you. And that's why having a Sleep Number smart bed is so crucial, because you can adapt to your changing needs for just right. Can't wait to nestle into bed, luxurious comfort. So whether you need softer or firmer, cooler or warmer, you are never stuck. You can adjust your comfort whenever you like. And it gives you your best night's sleep night after night, year after year. I love my smart bed. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. Just 10 numbers apart, but it means the world of difference, because I can change my side of the bed to however firm or soft I want. And the same thing for Suze. So why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? Again, so you can sleep just the way you like. The only bed that lets you make each side firmer or softer whenever you like your Sleep Number setting. Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year is here. All beds on sale. Up to 50% off the limited edition smart bed. Limited time. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store or sleepnumber.com for details.
You buy a pair of socks, that's two socks. You buy a pair of Bombas socks, that's four socks. Because one purchased is one donated. Socks are the number one most requested clothing item in homeless shelters. So when you buy a pair of super comfortable Bombas socks, you're also donating a pair. Bombas customers have powered over 150 million donations. So Bombas would like to thank you 150 million times. But we only have like 30 seconds. Go to bombas.com and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO at checkout.
When you see the video of you throwing to Tyree, okay, what do you think of when you see that?
I just smile. I'm just thankful for David Tyree, man. There's not a better person and a guy who just, who had the worst week of practice in the history of all practices on that Friday and dropped every pass and, thought he was going to be the starting receiver. And then Plaxico, comes back and plays that game. And then, sure enough, in the game, David Tyree has a touchdown catch and then makes the catch, with Rodney Harrison hanging all over him.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Poppa giving the call saying, he's got a wide open receiver, and I guess that's wide open in the NFL. And, David Tyree, just the will, the desire was there, and just catching it off the helmet. Just what an unbelievable story. And
never get tired of watching that play.
All right, well, Chris Brockman, my on-air compadre here, what do you tell him? Go ahead, tell him what you say every time. Now that he's here, you can say it to his face. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, usually I say it to Sean O'Hara because Sean is here. But, right. I mean, there were 14 different holdings on that play.
He sees
play,
holding.
Which is fine.
Eli, what do you say to that? When
he says holding?
Yeah, he sees holding.
I didn't see. How can you have holdings? They didn't block anybody. Line just like, all right.
You know,
let them run in. You know, I almost get sacked by all four players. You know, they kind of just blocked them off. You know, I think it's not really holding. If the guy's holding me, like a defense player is holding me, I think you're allowed to do whatever you want
to the
pass rusher at that point. If I'm in the grab, they can just grab them also and pull them off. It's kind of it's kind of free range at that point.
I agree. Chris, you see holding. Eli sees grasping. That's what he sees.
I see the greatest play ever.
That's right. There's a giant.
I was right there, Eli. I was sitting right there.
I was there in the building.
That's it.
That's such crap. Get out of here, Eli.
It was a great game. What a great game.
What are we talking about?
All right, the time has come. Rolled through a lot of the callers, what they wanted to talk about. I now open the floor for the next, let's call it 20 minutes here, to you fellas. Anything you want to know about the NFL, news, thoughts on teams, my training camps, whatever you want to know, lay it on me. Brockman, start with you.
What was, you did what, 13 camps
in 12 days.
What was the biggest story that you kind of came across, kind of behind the scenes that you didn't get to talk about on air from any of the camps that you visited?
It's in the early stages of camp, it's sort of the calm before the storm. Like, we're not to trades quite yet. That'll start ramping up probably later this week and more so in next week.
Guys who are on the cut bubble, you mean? Like guys, things like
yeah,
that?
It'll yeah, start, yeah. You know, all of a sudden you're like some veterans with the second group and you're like, that's weird. And
like,
then usually
like
that guy
in New England.
That name may have popped into my head, which is why I said that. And all of a sudden you're like, what's going on there? He's making a lot of money to not be with the with the starting group. I would say one of the fun things in going to all the different camps is names that pop up that you hadn't heard in your life. And then all of a sudden, like, someone's like, oh, this guy's really good. The Lions have a 7th-round draft pick wide receiver. He's a little banged up right now. He's missing some time. You got to look up his name for me because now it's already slipping me here. It's not Isaac Tesla, who they also like as well, but their 7th-round wide receiver. Literally everyone I talk to, from coaches to front office people to literally the owner of the team, brought up the 7th-round pick and how good of a training camp that wide receiver is having. So you walk away from a camp like that. Are you struggling to find the Lions draft class there,
Brockman?
Yeah,
I was looking at the...
All right, well, hold on here.
I was looking at the depth chart real quick. But
can I just point, there's a guy named Tesla who plays for the Lions in Detroit, home of the muscle car.
For the Fords?
Dominic
Lovett.
Yeah, from Georgia.
Lovett from Georgia. 7th-round draft pick. Making plays all over the place. Yeah, he's a little banged up. He's missing a couple of weeks here. But I would not be surprised if...
Really?
That guy is a name that you're hearing as we get toward the regular season. So those are probably, there's 100 of those, or probably not 100. There's a dozen of those names that have popped up over the course of time. But like ones like that, you're like, all right, filing that away. Let's see what that guy can do.
Yeah, and also, you know, we talked so much about the quarterbacks. Just kind of a big picture, like which quarter, you know, I always talk about, you know, Tua really needs to have a good year this year. Trevor Lawrence really needs to have a good year this year. Who are guys like that at the quarterback position who they're not necessarily playing for their job because they did sign a new contract recently, but who really needs to have a good season?
The Miami dynamic with Tua and Mike McDaniel, you look at, again, the numbers. I always say this. You look at the stats, the win-loss record, when Tua is out there with Mike, it's pretty good.
What are they, 38-24 or something like that? Or
they haven't played that many games together.
It's
something
ridiculous.
It's a very good rate. It's like around 25-10. It's something like that when they've actually been together. But there's been so much time that Tua has missed that then you get these weird stretches of Skylar Thompson starting a playoff game, or, hey, we tried to roll somebody out there. That didn't work. Let's put Mike let's get Snoop Huntley in here. Mike White was on the team last year.
Tua's career record is 38-24.
His record is 38-24.
Yeah.
But with Mike, he's only been there 3 years.
Yeah, they're 25-16.
25-16. So that's still, you're winning 64% of your games, somewhere around there. Like, that's pretty good. That's serviceable. But then you have these stretches where you're playing with somebody else. And even when Tua comes back, think about this. Think about the challenge that Mike McDaniel has every week to design a game plan that doesn't get the quarterback hit. Everybody else, you are, you know, hey, on this play, we're going to get the right look, but you're going to have a free rusher and you might have to take a hit. You can't do that with Tua. So the pressure on him every week is substantial. Having said that, any team that gets 3-4 years in, and they extended Mike before last season, but any team that gets 3-4 years in, and either you haven't made the playoffs, which the Dolphins did make the playoffs twice, and then were banged up in those games, but any team that hasn't won a playoff game, if you get 4 years in, and it's kind of the same thing, everybody's job is on the line. Mike McDaniel was brought in for a lot of different reasons, but a big one was he was the guy who came in his interview and said, I can win with this. Here's the plays Tua can do. I can make this work. This guy can be really good. Other coaches might have walked in and said, this isn't going to work for us. Right. But he presented the plan saying, I'm going to embrace this. And but for concussions, you have to say it's been a success. Tyreek Hill did not have his best season in 2024. They had injuries all over the place, including to their pass rushers. If you could be healthier and get a real Tyreek back, and if the message that they've been spreading in terms of accountability of everybody in that locker room and coaching staff, every person accountable to everybody else, which is where you've heard those two comments about Tyreek, if they can have those things come together, they've got a chance to be good. No one's talking about the Dolphins being in that mix, but they won, what, 11 games 2 years ago? Last year was a mess, and Tua missed a bunch of time. When Tua's healthy, they've got a shot. If Tua does not stay healthy again this year, and you're talking about four consecutive seasons of this, and or they just don't get any better and they don't advance in the playoffs, then you're probably talking about the Dolphins having to consider all options in terms of what's on the table. TJ, you got one?
Yeah, kind of. You know, we know that you are an insider, right? And we know that we see you in your current form here on this show and on your insider show. But as you and I were talking about the other day, like, why don't we let people know kind of like your journey, like the process that it took to get you to sitting in this chair, man? How did you start?
We covered this a little bit yesterday with when Hanson was in here, because he was talking about his first job being for, what did he say it was, $16,000?
Something like
Traverse
that.
Traverse City, Michigan. Like, it was $15,000 or $16,000.
Scott Hanson, like that, yeah.
Host of NFL Red Zone, but he started out making literally that. I was getting rejected from those jobs. I can remember having VHS tapes that were based on me working at like the community TV station in Newton, Massachusetts, as part of like coursework in college, like clips from, you know, just random little things like editing together something when I had an internship at ESPN. But like, I had no idea what I was doing. And the tapes, actually, I should dig that up the next time I'm in. I don't know if we got a VHS player around here, but we could take a look at what's on that tape.
Oh, Tufo, you probably got one.
I guarantee it's awful. Come on. I guarantee it's legitimately terrible. So I was applying for the same jobs that Hanson had, but everyone was telling me no. You didn't even hear back no.
A lot of times when I was doing the same thing, you wouldn't even hear back from people.
Right. And so my option at that time was I took a part-time job at a radio station in Minneapolis making $8 an hour, 20 hours a week with no benefits and not allowed to work overtime covering the Vikings. So it's opportunity. It's no money. And I was definitely below the poverty line at that time. Mm-hmm. But it was like, all right, well, I'm going to work way more than 20 hours a week, and I'm going to try to figure out this job on the fly. And thankfully, there were people around, not all the time, but a lot of the time, who kind of put up with me just kind of siphoning off other, you know, people actually conducting interviews, because I didn't know how to ask a question, not knowing what to do in the locker room, not knowing how to write a story. It's reps. You got to find your voice. And so went from there to taking a job at the Eau Claire Leader Telegram in Eau Claire, Wisconsin for not a whole lot more than $16,000 a year. And then from there to the Green Bay Press Gazette, because I broke a story about Green Bay getting a Northwoods League baseball team. That's how I got on their radar, and that's how I got the job there as the assistant sports editor when I was 26. And I'll leave that other story about how that job opened. I'll leave that for another story, another time. And then went back because one of the people who worked with me at a radio station at the original radio station in Minneapolis, they were starting a different radio station in Minneapolis. They needed somebody to come in and like lead the content team. And so I came in to do that in 2010, which then somehow I went from there to USA Today to NFL Network. So it's not like a linear path, but that was how I got to this spot. It was just that's one thing that, and I hate that I, you know, sound old. What am I, 44 at this point? You know, talking to Greg about like his kids, how youth sports have changed, but it has, man.
It has.
It permeates every level of what we do, down to when you're a young kid. Yes, was there less pressure in youth sports when I was growing up? Absolutely. And because you had house league and you played, and until fifth grade, I believe, was the first time that there was travel anything. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, the good kids now aren't in the league anymore. And I'm kind of like the one left behind. And so, you know, sixth grade, I try out and I make the travel baseball team. Seventh grade, I get cut. Right. But like you learn through that process of like, you know, what it is to like just to go through those different things. Like the pressure points are different in the whole deal. You would play games when it was like pouring rain, unless there was lightning, and then you just go to the car for 10 minutes and hope the lightning
wait
stopped,
for it to blow over.
And then you'd come back out with your metal bats and you'd resume playing. Now, if there's like a 20% chance of a storm an hour before my daughter's soccer game gets canceled. And I'm like, or if there's some rain starts, literally every parent and child runs to their cars and just drives off. We're giving up. That's it. Not playing tonight.
Game's over.
My daughter played 3.5 soccer games this entire summer in like a 12-game league. Everything else was canceled. It's the air quality is too low. It might rain. It's wet on the field because it rained 2 days ago. Everything gets canceled. And that is, again, I know I come across as you know, there's a generational gap. And this will, you know, somebody will see this clip and be like, oh, you don't understand. We're taking care of kids. They need those 7 water breaks during their 1 hour soccer game. We need to rotate.
When we drank out of a hose.
When the kids
had
show
holes
up,
in it. And it was, up, kids it was show attached up, to the shed.
When they show up 15 minutes late to the game and the coach is like, all right, subs, go right in the game. We would have been benched. Your parents can't get you on time. Not my problem. Nope. I'm not going to take away playing time from the kids and the parents who did get here on time. And they do it every single game, and you keep putting them out there. I don't know. That's just not how it came up. But then I think that a lot of that translates to like what media has become here. And again, I don't have all the answers. I'm not sitting here like giving you a lecture on you should go and work for free and all that stuff. What I would say is my personal experience of having to... Somebody had to give you an opportunity. You had to convince somebody to put you on air. Mm-hmm. You had to convince somebody to let you publish a story on a website.
Yep.
Now, because there's no barricades, it's a great thing. I always tell this one, like, you know, young people will reach out, and I try to call people back. If some kid emails me, I'm in college, I'm in high school, whatever, I'll try to call them back. And I'm always saying, like, you have fewer barriers to entry than we ever had. Ever. There was no YouTube. There was no social media. There were no blogs. This is like early 2000s. Like these things didn't exist. And so it's great. You can publish your own stuff. You can get all these reps that somebody had to give me the opportunity to get the reps. You can just record stuff. And if it sucks, fix it. Do a different thing the next time. Experiment and find your voice. Greg cited Malcolm Gladwell earlier. It's the, 10,000 hours 10, on task?
Hours, yeah.
That's what you need to become an expert in your field. And that's been shot down by all sorts of other researchers. But the point is, like getting those reps, that's the only way. Mm-hmm. I'm not the greatest talk show host of all time, but like I've become functional enough that Rich lets me sit in this chair occasionally because of like going through and doing satellite radio shows and local radio shows and TV and just like doing it. The issue, in my opinion, and again, I'm sure somebody's going to watch this and aggregate it out of context. A big part of the issue is 95% of the stuff, and I see it because like my kids will just be flipping around random YouTube stuff. It sucks. There's a lot of it that's terrible. And there's nobody to say, you suck. It's not even like, you're not good enough, give up. It's, this is terrible. This should never be on. No one should watch this. You should be ashamed that you thought this was good. We all had a boss like that.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not somebody who reacts well to being crushed, but I've definitely had it and been like, man, screw that guy. But then the next day you're like, yeah, that did suck. That was terrible. You know, and like you don't have that if you're just going, I'm starting a YouTube page. And again, there are people you can go fast-tracked, you can amass millions of followers, and then a major media company will hire you to be a big part of their brand going forward. Hmm. And it's like, wow, like, is that fair? There is no fair. There's only the fairness of like what someone will let you do. If you convince somebody you're that impactful and you're that good at your job and you can elevate everything else, someone's going to give you the opportunity. But what we lack at the lowest levels is people just go on and start tweeting stuff. And I try not to read the mentions, but like I'll see stuff and I'm like, and I'll see it and then, you know, click the bio and it's like, I'm, you know, this blogger, this, I'm like, there's like a bare minimum amount of research that I would like to think, but you just, all you do, you plug in, you create an account, you're on, and you're on TikTok and you're on X and you're on Threads and you're on Instagram and you're everywhere, but you're nowhere because you're not getting better. I remember doing some of the worst, like in hindsight, I am glad that, you know, local radio websites, like they all get rebate every 3 years and the entire catalog is like wiped off the face of the earth. I am glad some of the shows I did 20 years ago don't exist. And like, and to your point, there's a long-winded way of saying it, but like there are people along the way who had to see what I was doing and then go, I think he can do more. Paul Allen, who's still the voice of the Vikings, was like a huge influence for me and impact on my career because I was 1 year into being, again, .com Tom at KFAN Radio in Minneapolis, a name that I only got because I replaced a guy named .com Dave who had left.
.com Tom is pretty good.
And, and like PA that. The second .com year, like Tom. He just saw how much work I was putting in, and he's like, hey, do you want to co-host Vikings Uncensored on Monday nights? And at a bar, we'd have a player on every week. One time a player showed up extremely high on painkillers, slurring his words. We had to do another hour with him. We were getting calls, and it was like, that was a very formative experience for me. But if I sucked at that, and if I was bad, eventually I would have gotten a tap on the shoulder going, we're not going to have you on anymore.
Yeah, right.
You're making a YouTube page for 5 years, and you're doing the same crap over and over again? It's Somebody's got to jump in and say, this is not good enough.
Everyone needs an editor.
So it's true. Somebody somewhere you'd like to think can step in. But that's all I would say. I'm not telling anybody.
Not trying to step on anybody's dreams.
Right? I'm not trying to, like, listen, not everybody's going to go and be, you know, taking box scores at 11:30 on a midnight deadline in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, when you can't get the one coach whose town has 25 readers to answer the phone because he's out drunk at the bar because they finally won a game. Oh, God, and then he misspells his kids' names. And then the parents are calling you and complaining, my kid's name was spelled wrong. And I'm like, I don't know. The guy who took that box score was high as hell. He's making $5 an hour. He went home sick right after. And he couldn't tell me if he was sick from eating Taco Bell or Taco John's because he had both before he came in. I'm not saying you need to go do that. I am saying there is something about being at the absolute base level that is a really good thing. I don't have all the answers. I'm amazed I even get to sit here with you guys. But we all got here somehow.
We're not, Tom. You're great, man. Don't ever.
Okay, here we go. Mike Del Tufo.
I'm in my natural environment.
You are.
I'm field with cheerleaders.
Emily, take it away.
Hey, Mike, are you nervous? Emily?
No, not at all.
Good. Well, here are your set of pop-ups.
All right. Okay. Here, I'll take
it. How do you guys hold on to these things? Oh, there we go.
Your microphone.
There we go.
Okay. All right, Mike. So what are you? What move are you teaching him?
Okay, so we're going to do a dance. This is how it's going to start. You're going to step out, and your arms are going to go right, left, right.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, then you're going to box and pump. Good.
Box and pump. Okay. So right, left, right, box and pump.
5, 6, 7, 8. 1, 2, 3, 4. Good.
Close.
Now your hips are going to go right, left while you frame your face. So 5, 6. And now.
Get those hips in there, Mike. Come on.
Hair.
I got a really. Oh.
Got a big hair flip to the back. And then hair flip all the way over to the front.
Hair flip.
Good.
That's
okay.
Definitely one
Let's
thing I couldn't
that
do.
Okay. Ready?
Oh, my God.
And 5, 6, 7, 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah.
All right.
Show off your red boots and walk. So hair flip, maybe. Yeah.
Has to be a sassy walk.
Yeah. Sassy walk. So walk 1, 2.
That's not sassy enough.
3. Step together. 4. Now pump it. 5, 6.
egg.
Oh, you guys are real. No way.
You gotta get low on the
hair. Focus.
You gotta like. Low on the hair.
Yeah. Okay. How about just a cheer?
So ready. Take it from the hair flip. Ready. Right. And 5, 6, 7, 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Can we do it from the top?
Let's do it from the top.
Top. Ready.
Okay, hold on a minute.
Real fast.
So how would I introduce what
this is HTC Mike.
HTC Mike. I like it. Here we go. HTC okay, Mike ready. And the Houston Texas Cheerleaders, everybody.
5, 6, 7, 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, back 7, 8. Walk. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
yes.
7,
yes.
8.
Yes. Yes.
Yay.
Yes. Emily, tell him what he's won.
Mike, and for being a great sport, we brought you a fully signed Houston Texans cheerleading gown.
Yeah.
All right.
Mike Del Tufo's, it's a Delphi. It's the first Delphi of the week.
HTC Mike.
Fantastic.
You did great.
Not creepy at all.
Where is that selfie, Del Tufo? Is it somewhere?
I probably have it.
It's pop up every couple of months for you?
It's hanging in the wall of his bathroom.
We could scroll his Instagram page, but it would take a while with all the toothpicks.
TJ. He's got it framed. It's on the wall.
Could you, right now, Del Tufo, if you had to do that, would you be better or worse than you were 8 years ago?
No, I'd still suck.
You've lost like 40 pounds.
He's like, slim down.
No, the
five
problem
of those
is
pounds were in the goatee.
I have no coordination, hence why I went into mixing. I learned at a young age, sports are not part of my, and that's like sports. Dancing's different, but no, I can't do that.
You're roller skating though, right?
Oh no, I'm a pro.
Champion roller skater.
No. Well, now we're talking a different. Now, yeah.
That's athleticism.
I'm like Tom Brady when it comes to roller skating. I mean, and I'll have friends call him right now. I was the best skater in my rink. Oh. Like there were like maybe four of us. That were the top.
I know we have covered Del Tufo's roller skating career before on the show, but every time it comes up, my brain, I was like, Hyundai Reed, what is. I completely forgot what we were
you
doing.
You couldn't even go. You were like a deer in headlights. It was great. Like, you stopped.
You seem like you might be a tad top heavy. Like your legs seem like you got thick
very trunks. Skinny as a kid. I didn't gain weight until I met my ex-wife because she didn't cook. And we ate fast food every day of the week.
Did you meet her at the roller rink?
No, at a bar, which is a wrong
way
off the bat.
That's a big red
exactly,
flag.
Exactly,
right
a red
there.
Flag. Done.
Did you skate into the bar?
No, this is post-skating career.
Were there poles at that bar? Or?
No, different bar.
Gotcha. Tom, every year, there's four or five playoff teams from the previous year who don't make it traditionally. Who are you identifying right now
playoff teams
as
from
those
last
teams
year?
From the previous year that who could be in the in trouble this season?
Ooh.
All right, let's start with the teams that are not in trouble, in my opinion. I think that we see clearly the Eagles back.
Yep.
I think there's no question the Ravens are back. The Bills are back. Chiefs not making the playoffs is just a possibility that I'm not even going to entertain.
Be pretty stunning if they didn't.
Right now. So that's four. Other playoff teams from last year. Lions, I don't have much question. Lions are going to be there in the end again. The Packers and the Vikings also made it last year as wild cards.
Yep.
I mean, the Packers, the fact that Jordan Love is banged up right now, it's his left thumb. He's going to be fine. It's not the greatest omen, but this should be a more talented Packers team. So I would think that they're still right there. The Vikings is just an unknown. Their over-under, you said yesterday, is 9.5, I believe. I can't give gambling advice.
But this is a
team that, if you are able to have J.J. McCarthy play at a similar level to what you do with Sam Darnold, they should be pretty good again. Other teams, I mean, Denver, everything I've heard, I haven't been through Denver. Everything I've heard has been good. They were a team that came on late. Are they going to be able to sustain that? I think that's one of the teams you look at and just say, all right, are they going to continue to ascend? The Chargers. This is not a good omen for the Chargers.
No.
Najee Harris still hasn't been seen on the field since a 4th of July fireworks explosion. You lose Rashawn Slater. You lose Mike Williams to retirement. You bring back Keenan Allen. There's just a lot of things there where a Chargers team you would think is taking the next leap forward, and certainly Jim Harbaugh has challenged his team to do that. That's another team that's going to be interesting. We got 10 seconds. Who else did I miss from last year's playoff field?
Houston, Pittsburgh, Washington.
Pittsburgh, man. It's going to be interesting. Aaron, the day I was there, didn't look like Aaron, but he also missed the whole offseason. So does he ascend? We'll find out. Thanks, everybody, listening.
Good job, Tom.
I am Michael Rosenbaum.
I am Tom Welling.
Welcome to Talkville,
where it's fun to talk about Smallville.
We're going to be talking to sometimes guest stars.
Are you liking the direction Lois is going in?
Yeah, because I'm getting more screen time.
It's good.
But mostly it's just me and Tom remembering.
I think we all feel like there was a scene missing here.
You got me, Tom.
Let's revisit it. Let's look at it.
See what we remember.
See what we remember.
I had never been around anything like that before. I mean, it was so fun.
Talkville.
Talkville.
I just had a flashback.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
Let's get into it.